moving in the right direction after interest rates were held at 5.25%. A rapid rise in cases of whooping cough in England has led to the deaths of 5 babies. BBC News.
And the news was presented by Jane Steele. This is BBC Radio 4. Next, another revival of a missing Hancock, a recreation of an episode of Hancock's Half Hour that was lost from the archive of the classic. That's coming up after this.
On BBC Radio 4.
He kind of stayed in character the whole time, but he was still in this world.
A fantastic mixture.
The actor Michael Sheen on the experience of acting.
The absolute reality is that you are not that person. Acting is pretending.
Reflecting on the process and how it's taught.
I had to completely rethink what acting was. It wasn't about working out a good way to do something. It was about being affected by what other people are doing.
With guests including Anne-Marie Duff, Adrian Lester and Simon McBurney, Michael Sheen gets into character on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, starts next Tuesday at 4.
There was one Hancock's half-hour script that was never recorded by the original cast, but you're about to hear it now to coincide with what would have this week been Hancock's 100th birthday. It was first broadcast in January 2020.
Hello, I'm Neil Pearson, co-producer of The Missing Hancocks, and I'm here to welcome you to this performance of The Counterfeiter. There's something very special about this episode. It was never recorded as part of Hancock's Half Hour and has never been performed before. Quite why this episode never saw the light of day is unclear. One theory says that the show's writers, Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, thought the episode gave too much prominence to Bill Kerr, undercutting Tony Hancock's star billing. Others say it was Hancock himself who objected to the episode, during which he commits a crime, the theft of some money. Hancock, the theory goes, pointed out that his character only ever commits a crime under the influence of Sid James. The writers agreed, and the script was shelved. But whatever the reason, it wasn't for a lack of quality. The Counterfeiter is every bit as polished, inventive, and hilarious as any other Hancock's half-hour script, and we're delighted to be able to present it to you now. Enjoy.
This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock, Bill Kerr, Sidney James, Andre Melly and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour. I'm sorry, Andre, I've just about had enough. He's gotta go. I'm not putting up with it any longer.
You've been saying that for the last 2 years.
I know, but this time he's gone too far. I had the police round this morning.
What's he done now?
For the last 6 months, he's been going round the Labour Exchange to collect dole money twice a week.
Well?
On Thursdays, he's been given my name. Not good enough. A man in my position cannot afford to have people think he's out of work. It's probably gone all round the business. Hancock's on the dole. Ted Ray, Jimmy Edwards, all that lot having a good old laugh. You see, they'll be doing charity concerts for me at the Albert Hall.
No, don't be silly. Of course they won't.
They'd better have had the posters printed. And Kerr's not getting any of it. He's had enough of my money. I've kept that man for years. He'll do anything rather than go out to work.
No, I don't know. Bill has done a bit of work this year.
Work? 3 minutes in the Dam Busters, and that was his lot. He was exhausted.
I didn't know Bill was in the Dam Busters.
Neither did anyone else. I turned round and asked somebody for a light, and he'd been and gone by then.
What part did Bill play?
Oh, I don't know. The bomb, I think. I wasn't looking. And there's another thing. Look at the social circles he moves in. He gets a strange delight out of mixing with these people. Sidney James, Edwardian Fred, Briefcase Bertie, light-fingered Louis.
There's nothing wrong with Bill. He just likes to enjoy life. He's young and irresponsible.
He's a layabout.
He isn't really. He just doesn't believe in taking life too seriously. He's just naturally gay and light-hearted. He likes to get as much as he can out of things.
Especially me. He's got no sense of responsibility. Wine, women and song, that's all he thinks about.
Well, the trouble with you is that you're an old plodder, a stick in the mud, an old fuddy-duddy.
Fuddy-duddy? It's true that I'm serious-minded, but on the right occasions, I can let me hair down with the best of them. As anyone who goes to the Potter's Bar Croquet Club socials will tell you. You should have seen me on VJ night. I had a paper hat on. Of course, a couple of draft bitters and I go berserk. But that sort of thing is all right in its place. Rest of the time, one must be a respectable, sober-minded member of the community. One has a debt to society, and Bill's is mounting up daily.
Well, what do you propose to do about it?
Either he gets a job or out he goes. He's been a non-paying guest here for 5 years now, and it's got to stop. I shall tell him straight. As soon as we finish tea, I shall go straight upstairs and get him out of bed.
Yeah, well, again, we go again. Sippery, rippery, child again, bewitched, bothered and bewildered.
Hello, something's happened. He's up. The bedclothes must have fallen off.
In an old Australian homestead. Ah, good morning, Tap.
Good evening, William.
Oh, yes, so it is. Oh, I must have been in bed for 3 days. I wonder what got me up.
Hunger?
Yeah, that was it. I'm starving. Why didn't you bring me something up on a tray? I could have died up there.
No such luck.
Oh, boy, I'm tired. I think I'll grab some dinner and turn in again. Andre, pop over to the pub and fill my hot water bottle up, will you?
Hey! Rip Van Winkle, a word in your ear.
Yeah?
You can take that bib off. The restaurant's closed.
Huh?
You're having no more free meals in this house. From now on, no pay, no eat.
Tub, you're joking.
And put that crust down.
Tub, what's got into you?
I'll tell you. I'm finished. I'm not keeping you in idleness a minute longer. Your boots are not going to touch those pillows again until you get a job. You will present yourself at the Labour Exchange first thing in the morning in a clean collar and a fresh shirt.
Well, what's wrong with me usual gear?
Oh, please. Supposing you get a job in the city. How could you walk into the Corn Exchange in a Hawaiian shirt and jeans?
Well, I can see I'm going to have a tough day tomorrow. I'd better go back to bed and get some rest.
Yeah, we'll make the most of it. It'll be your last chance to lie in bed. And don't you dare come back tomorrow night without a job. William?
Yeah?
Put that crust back.
And if you tell the manager the Labour Exchange sent you, I'm sure he'll be able to offer you suitable employment. Next.
Morning, Charlie.
Oh, hello, William. You're a bit early this morning. Just in time for some tea. I'll put the kettle on. Oh, by the way, we've got a little surprise for you. I'll just get my other assistants. I say, chaps, William's arrived. All together now.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear William. Happy birthday to you.
Say, what's all this in aid of?
You've been with us 7 years today. Congratulations. And here's a greetings telegram from the Labour Minister.
Oh, how nice. Well, thank you, fellas.
Speech!
Well, I'd just like to say thank you very much, and as your oldest customer, I'd like to take this opportunity of paying tribute to the wonderful treatment and kindness that's always been afforded to me at this Labour Exchange. No, I mean it, fellas. I mean, I've patronised Labour Exchanges all over the world, but nowhere else have I known such service and hospitality. I would never have been able to stay out of work so long if it hadn't been for your help. I mean, Charlie there, dear, kind-hearted old Charlie, always sends me a postcard when you've run out of jobs and it's safe for me to come round. And Cyril, lovable old Cyril, always a kind word and a bowl of soup waiting for me on a cold day. And Percy, dear friend Percy, always a couple of bob over the odds on the dole money whenever he could afford it. A man doesn't easily forget kindness like that, and believe me, fellas, I'm going to miss you all.
Miss us? I don't understand you, William. You can't mean...
Yes, Charlie. Even in the midst of laughter, there is tragedy. I've got to get a job.
Oh! Dear salts, quickly smelling salts. Poor Cyril, it's his heart, you know. Sudden shocks, he shouldn't be working. But you know, William, this terrible thing, this job. You can't leave us now. Don't all the good times we've had together mean anything to you? You're joking, say you're joking.
No, Charlie, it's true. I've got to get a job.
It's only temporary. You'll be back with us after the Christmas rush.
No, Charlie, it's for keeps.
So it's come to this. I suppose I shouldn't be surprised, really. It had to come. It couldn't last. We've been too happy. I suppose. William, it's not, oh no, it couldn't be that.
What?
It's not somebody else. It's not another labor exchange or something.
No, Charlie, of course not.
Oh, thank heavens. I don't think I could have stood that. It's the 7-year itch, that's what it is, isn't it? It happens every 7 years. You get a sudden urge to go out to work. But it wears off. You'll come back. We can start all over again.
Charlie, no. Stop deceiving yourself. There's nothing I can do about it. I've got to go out to work for good.
All right, then. If you've made up your mind to go, I can't stop you. Oh, cursed be the serpent that drags thee from thy family's bosom to serve a foreign master. Shelley.
Well, goodbye, Charlie.
No, not goodbye. Au revoir. Here, take this address. They'll look after you. They're a good firm. The least I can do is give you a job with which you'll be happy. And now, go quickly. Don't look back. Don't make it any harder. Goodbye, William. Oh, Bill. Bill. He's gone.
Andre, is dinner ready? It's nearly 1 o'clock.
I'm just dishing it up, Tony.
Today is an historic occasion, Andre. Kerr's first day at work. The battle has been won. Oh, this my dinner?
No, Bill's. I'm just taking it to him.
Where is he?
In bed.
In bed?
Well, he doesn't start till 3 o'clock.
What time does he finish?
5:30.
What sort of job's that?
He washes glasses up at the King's Head.
Oh, I'm not having that. He's not lying in bed all day. That's just the thing I've been trying to stop. I'm not encouraging his laziness. He's going straight back to that labour exchange and get another job. One that starts at a reasonable hour in the morning.
Well, I'm sorry the glass washing wasn't satisfactory, William. But here's something that should suit you. Just the sort of thing you're looking for. Starts tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. See ya.
Dinner's ready, Tony.
Ah, good, good. I am in a good mood this week. I have enjoyed waking old Kerr up at 7:30 every morning. He couldn't get over it. It's the first time he's ever seen the sun on that side of the sky.
And he doesn't finish until 5:30 at night.
Quite right, too. A good hard day's work. He'll soon get used to it.
No, he already has. I saw him hard at work this morning when I went shopping.
Oh, where?
In the furniture shop.
What was he doing?
He was in bed.
In bed?
Yes, he's in the window demonstrating mattresses. And they're very pleased with him. No shirking. He sleeps all day long.
And then he comes home and crawls straight up to bed saying he's exhausted. And there's me feeling sorry for him. Wait till he comes home. I'll give him his tea. Right down his throat. Tray and all.
Well, at least he's bringing some money in.
That's not the be-all and the end-all. He can't go through life being lazy. He's going to turn his pyjamas into the manager first thing in the morning and find another job.
Are you going to send him down to the labour exchange again?
No, he's too well in with them. His next job would be in the research department of a sleeping pill factory. No, I'm going to take him out and find him his next job myself. We'll make sure this time.
Hello? Sydney James Duplicating and Printing Services Limited. Edwardian Fred speaking. Oh, well, just a minute. Sid!
Hello?
It's Carey Street Albert, the money lender. He wants to know when the next lot of pound notes will be ready.
Oh, give us the phone. Hello, Albert? How many do you want this time? 100,000 quid by Tuesday? Oh, do me a favour. We can't make them that quick. It's all handmade stuff. None of this shoddy mass production like here, you know. Anyway, you had 50,000 last Wednesday. What's the matter with you? Wait a minute, I'll just check what we got in stock. Let's see, there's 1,500 in fivers hanging up on the clothesline in the garden. They should be dry by tomorrow. There's 4,000 onces in the oven. They're going to take a bit longer. We haven't got a shilling for the gas. And there's 210 bobs that Fred hasn't finished ironing yet. That's a grand total of 5,700 quid's worth. How much? Oh, to you, 35 and a tanner. That's including postage. In real money, if you please. No, I'm sorry, that's all I've got. I'm short-staffed. Too many lads getting thrown in the nick these days. And you can't get the youngsters to go into the business. Too dangerous. Still, I've got an advert in the window for a new printer. But until I can find some Charlie to do it, I can't let you have any more.
Good afternoon.
Albert, I'll post them first thing in the morning. Cheerio. Well, well, well. Hancock and Billy the Kerr. What brings you round here?
We've come in answer to your advert in the window. Smart lad wanted to learn printing trade. No experience necessary. Anything from 14 days to 6 months holiday a year guaranteed.
Yep, that's right.
Well, here's the smart lad.
What, Billy?
Yes. I want him to learn an honest trade.
Oh, right you are.
What's the money like?
Perfect. It fools me sometimes.
Well, what about it, William?
Well, I don't care what I do as long as I make a lot of money.
You'll get the push if you don't.
That's what I like to hear. An employer who insists on his employees having a share in the fruits of his business.
Certainly. They get some of it in their pay packets.
I can see you're going to be very happy here, William. I shall leave you to your work. Oh, and Sydney.
Yeah?
See he doesn't slack or go to sleep. Keep his head away from anything soft. He'll have his head underneath the newspaper before the bell stop ringing.
Don't worry, I'll watch him. See ya.
Well, now, what do I have to do?
You're going to be a printer.
Don't I have to serve an apprenticeship?
Oh, yeah, all right then, if you want to. Here's a press. Put a bit of paper in it.
Right.
Turn the handle.
Right.
Welcome to the printing trade.
Now, wait a minute. I thought an apprenticeship lasted 7 years.
Well, yeah, normally it does, but I don't think we'll stay open that long. Now, all you have to do is turn this handle.
Right, I've got you.
That's it. Now, all them bits of green paper coming out, you bundle them up in the hundreds and put them in the oven. Gas mark one.
What are they?
Oh, they're dance tickets.
Ah. Hey, wait a minute. These dance tickets look like pound notes.
Never mind, you've only just started. You're bound to make a few mistakes.
I know what you're up to. You're a forger. You're making counterfeit notes.
No, Billy, you've got it all wrong.
Then what are you doing?
Well, you see, what's really happening is we're printing them for another firm.
Who?
The Bank of England.
Don't give me that. They print their own.
Yes, but they've had a sudden rush. Wilfred Pickles cashed a cheque last week. So they've had to farm out the work. We've all been called in on it. Old Harry down the road, the bloke who owns the beer bottle top factory, he's doing tanners and bobs. And Rooftop Ronnie, the bloke who whips the lead off the churches, he's providing his own materials and doing the pennies. We're just trying to do our little bit to help out the old country.
Well, I don't know. It seems a bit...
Billy, you know me. I wouldn't do anything that was dishonest now, would I?
Well, no, Sid, but...
Well then, just do your job and stop poking your nose in. Now then, I've got some homework for you to do tonight.
Homework?
Yeah. 500 onces to be printed, dried, ready for circulation by tomorrow morning. Take a portable printing press home with you and do them tonight.
Right.
Oh, and you better give me your insurance cards before you go. I have to put stamps on for you.
Well, yeah, okay.
And stop worrying. Everything done here is strictly legal.
Yeah, sure.
What price stamps do you have on your insurance card?
5 and 4p.
Right. Fred!
Hello?
Roll off another batch of 5 and 4p elf stamps. There now. You're stamped up until February 1964. Good day.
Don't eat. Dinner's ready.
Hey!
Dinner's
Hey!
In the front room.
Of course. That perishing printing press. You can't eat yourself eat. Every night for a week. He's been working in his bedroom up there. At least when he lay in bed all day, we had a bit of peace and quiet.
Well, it's your own fault. It was you who got this job for him.
Yes, but I didn't know he was going to be working at home. Ah, shut up! I can't stand any more of it, all this noise. It's driving me off my crust. My nerves are going. Look at my eyes, they're red, sunken, I can't stand it.
Tony.
What?
It stopped.
How can you tell it stopped with all this noise going on? I tell you, I can't stand it. Don't you understand? I can't stand it.
Don't, Tony, control yourself. It stopped.
Well, restart it. You'll never hear acting like this again.
That's another day's work finished. Ah, dinner, lovely. You're right about this working lark, Tub. It's good for you. Gives you an appetite.
Put my dinner down.
I thought you'd finished.
I haven't even started yet. That's the size dinners I've been getting since you started work. Andre thinks you need feeding up. Why don't you go back to bed? You're more trouble than you're worth.
Ah, now, Tub, I'm getting the light work. I wish I thought of it before. Makes a man fit. I don't feel a bit tired. I think I'll grab a few hours' rest, then get up at about 2 o'clock in the morning and do some more.
Blimey, another plate full of aspirins for breakfast. Oh, dear.
Oh, that was a great meal, Andre.
A bit more pie.
Oh, thanks.
And you've had enough, Tony.
Hey, Tub, have you finished already?
Of course I have. Don't bother about a plate next time, Andre. Just put it on the fork.
Well, seeing as you're finished, you can nip upstairs and get me fags. I've left them on the printing press.
Perishing lackey now. Give us tuppence and I'll dance for you. Can't even be master in your own home now. I don't know what it's coming to. Thinks he owns the place just because he's earning a few bob. Me? I've had it, I have. Don't get no grub.
Need more pie, Bill. You've had enough, Tony.
She'll have to watch her step and all. I've a good mind to go back to me mum. I might as well. I'm just a lodger here. Now, where's these perishing fags? Ah, here they are. Hello. You can see he's working. 3 and 7 penny ones. Used to be 10 1 and 4 pence 8 pennies and roll up the doggins. He's getting above himself. Hello? Money. A big bundle of pound notes. New ones, too. That's not bad for a week's wages. There's more money in this printing game than I thought. I'll have this lot. Back rent. He owes me hundreds. All I've done for him in the past. I'll spend this lot before he finds out I've got him. Ha! That'll teach him to leave money lying around. Ha ha ha, yes! I'll nip down the tailors first thing in the morning and get myself a few suits.
Hi, Andre. Dinner ready?
Yes, Bill. Sit down and I'll dish it out.
Hey, only two places set. Where's Tub?
He's in prison.
He's in prison? Well, I'd better get down there.
I wouldn't if I were you. The safest thing you can do is emigrate.
Why? What's it got to do with me?
I don't know. But when they dragged him out of the house, I blushed at the things he was calling you.
I don't understand. What's he done?
He bought 3 suits and a television set with dud pound notes.
Dud notes? But where did he get them from? Dud notes? Oh, no. Quick, Andre, my hat and coat.
Number 1857369.
Speaking.
Number 1857369.
Just a minute, me good man. 1857369, Esquire, if you please. I still have me dignity. This is only a temporary arrangement. I'll have you know I'm in direct communication with the governor.
How?
I've been bashing me tin mug on the bars all night long. I'm expecting to hear of me reprieve on the hot water pipes any minute now.
Well, anyway, visitor for you. You got 2 minutes.
Hiya, Tub. I like the suit.
Naturally. One of the ones you paid for. I always choose this pattern. Harris tweed arrows and a round hat to match. Wait till I get out of this. This is all your fault. Other people go out to work all their lives without causing all this trouble. Making counterfeit notes? A shame of it. How could you do it?
Look, Tub, I'm sorry about this. I can explain.
Take this wine net away just for 30 seconds. One punch, that's all I ask.
Tub, please, don't get upset. Look on the funny side of it.
Ha ha, right, I've looked. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Now, believe me, Tub, I had no idea those notes were duds. I was taken in.
So was I, by 4 dirty great coppers. Now, get me out of here.
Now, you leave it to me, Tub. I'll get this sorted out. You'll be a free man without a stain on your character within 12 hours. Or my name's not Ned Kelly.
It's not.
I'm just covering myself. Now, you've got to do something, Sid. You've got to get Tony out of prison. Or I'll tell the police it's you who's behind this forgery racket.
What forgery racket?
All these printing presses.
I don't know what you're talking about. I am printing margarine labels.
Since when?
Since Hancock got locked up. We were in production 30 seconds after the cell door slammed.
But you can't just leave him there.
Oh, look, Billy, stop worrying. I've never failed to help a friend yet. I'll get him the best lawyer in town. He's got nothing to worry about.
Number 1857369 Esquire.
Hello.
Visitor to see you.
Who is it this time?
Your lawyer.
Aha! Now we'll see who's master. I'll show you can't keep me locked up. You may pack my things. I shall be leaving immediately. Now, where is he?
Good evening. Oh.
It's him! What are you doing here?
I'm your lawyer, I am.
Warder, can you direct me to the condemned cell, please?
Oh, don't be like that. I'll get you off. I've never lost a case yet. You mark my words. After I've defended you, no court in the country will convict you.
With the powers invested in me, I hereby sentence you, Antony Aloysius St. John Hancock, to a term of imprisonment not exceeding 6 months.
Everything Kerr does lands me right in it. 6 months. You mark my words, after I've defended you, no court in the country will convict you.
Well, there's no need to get shirty. It wasn't my fault. It was just that the judge didn't like us.
Yes, but 6 months.
Oh, that's all right. I got 9 months and I've nothing to do with this. I'll appeal for you if you like.
No, thank you. 6 months is quite enough. Just wait till I get out. I'll see that cur doesn't cause me any more trouble. And there's only one way to do it.
Yeah, sure is nice to have you back, Tub. You know something?
What?
I'm going to go out and get another job.
No, don't trouble yourself.
No, I insist. You were right about me being a layabout. The least I can do is bring in some money to help you keep things going.
No, Bill, don't bother yourself. You stay where you are.
But, Tub, you've kept me strapped in this bed for 3 weeks now. Get up and go to work.
You're staying where you are.
Yeah, but
you are not getting any more jobs.
Yeah, but
I've done enough time for this as it is. I'll send you food up, but you're not setting foot outside this house. Look, just shut up and go to sleep, for heaven's sake.
Listening to Hancock's Half Hour, featuring Kevin McNally, Kevin Eldon, Robin Sebastian, Simon Greenall, and Susie Kane. Incidental music was composed by Wally Stott and recorded by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levin Parikian. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson. And the programme, which was recorded, was produced by Neil Pearson and Hayley Sterling. It was a BBC Studios production.
And for more centenary celebrations of the comic genius of Tony Hancock, you can listen to Radio 4 Extra this Sunday, 12th of May. And speaking of which...
This weekend, BBC Radio 4 Extra celebrates...
Tony Hancock. Must have been, he was very funny.
...on what would have been his 100th birthday, with newly found archive.
It was hard going, cycling over the downs. As I pedalled along in agony, one question burned in my mind. Who had stolen the saddle?
Including a lost episode of Hancock's Half Hour.
I'm looking for Harry Secombe.
Oh, yes.
He did my radio show for me.
Oh, no.
Don't take any notice of this pickaxe.
No.
Tony Hancock, 100.
Hancock's even.
This Sunday afternoon from 5 on BBC Radio 4 Extra and BBC Sounds.
Later on Radio 4 in Loose Ends, we'll hear from the comedian Rod Gilbert, who discusses his upcoming stand-up show. We're ready to welcome him back after he's had a very difficult year.